Nice. Soul on ice. I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, whenever or wherever you are listening. Thank you for joining us. You are now rocking with the best. Much respect goes out to the man, Brother B, holding us down on all of our social media platforms. Make sure you check us out, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, the whole nine yards. Also, we need you to subscribe, rate, and review for the show. That's the only way we are going to grow. Today is going to be a great show. Our guest, our featured guest, is the one and only Anthony Duclair. We've been wanting to get the Duke on the show for a very long time, so really hyped to have him on. And let's just get into it. Of course, joining us, usually we've got the full-on Get Busy Boys. Double Trouble is usually in the house, but young Akil, he's got his duties with the Ontario Reign, so he won't be joining us right now. Maybe he'll come on in our interview with Anthony Duclair, but we're gonna wait and see if he just hops on. But holding it down is the Get Busy crew, and Brother B is gonna be holding it down with us on this first part of the episode alongside Elijah Roberts. What is going on, boys?
Not much, I just finished my first year of school, so
oh, nice.
Pretty exciting. I passed every class, so it's pretty exciting. I wasn't much of a school guy, never really did too good, but I finished first year and finished with pretty good marks too.
Now, here's your opportunity to talk trash because Akil's not here, but if Akil was in your position, would he finish his first year?
I think he would finish, but my second semester, I got a 80 average, and I don't know if Akil would be able to compete with that. So,
once again, I'm going to let him know that you said that. So, Brother B, what's happening with you, man?
Well, congrats to you. That's dope, for real.
Thank you. Thank you.
Man, everything's good. It has been beautiful in Austin, Texas. Even made it to the skate park the other day. So, nice. Naturally, I'm nursing some light injuries, but life is good.
This is Mr. Tony Hawk over here. Let's set it off by sending a huge congratulations to friend of the show, Shane Wright, getting the C for Team Canada in the upcoming World Juniors. That's a huge, huge pat on the back. And I think that's like a huge accomplishment for the young man. And, Elijah's got him pegged as going to be a huge, huge player in the NHL. So we wanted to send a huge shout out to Shane and congratulations to you, and go Canada, go. Please remember what happened last year. Like, come on, guys, let's go. But speaking of tournaments, disappointing news, Elijah.
Yeah, I mean, before we get into the tournament itself, I want to talk about MGM, Michaela Grant Mentis. We had her on the show a few weeks ago, and I'll speak for myself. I almost certainly thought she was going to be a part of that Team Canada team. And, it was really disappointing news when she wasn't. And for the life of me, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know why she wasn't on the team. She's got all the numbers. She's clearly better than a lot of the people on that list, but, pretty disappointing that she was invited.
And we're not even talking about making the team.
Just an invite. Just an
invite to the camp. Like, how does she not get an invite to the camp to compete against the rest of the girls? Some of those girls that were on that list haven't even played. They haven't even played in the last year. And MG did. And, like, I don't know. It's Team Canada that's a funny way of, picking their squad. And I mean, Akil kind of broke it down a little bit to us as well, but I don't know. I was very disappointed as well.
And at the end of the day, there's not even going to be a tournament, which is it's really sad in my opinion, especially when the U18 men's tournament is going on. And I think the biggest thing about this is just like, how is there no plan B? How is there no thought about how to make it work? And the thing for these women, this is their Olympics, their Stanley Cup, and for it to just get cut off with no hesitation, no plan to even try and make it work, it's pretty sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the time for them to showcase their talent, and every opportunity that they can, you know, it counts. So, yeah.
And we've seen a lot of the players say something like Hillary Knight, Sarah Nurse has said stuff about how it's just like it's so unfair, and the fact that I truly believe they could have made it work. I mean, you could say there wasn't enough money, there wasn't this, there wasn't that, but at the end of the day, if they wanted to make it work, they could have made it work. And it's just, you know, the people in charge didn't want to make it work.
Yeah, sad. But, you know, switching over to some really good news that's happening in the National Hockey League, Brother B, what do you got?
Yeah, man, I've just been, kind of staying afloat of all the news going on, and came across this cool article about the NHL and what it's doing to, you know, kind of work on sustainability and what they can do to fight climate change and all that. Two of the biggest teams, you know, being looked at now are the Kraken, and the Islanders are getting their new arena too. But they provided a bunch of like really dope facts about the new Kraken arena. They're providing a whole bunch of like public transportation to and from the arena. So people are either like carpooling or, you know, just not using their own cars to get to and from. The whole thing is going to be 100% renewable energy. Wow. So like everything from heating to like cooking, plumbing, that's all going to be electric, renewable energy. The one dope thing I thought was their ice, though, get this, it's going to be rainwater. It's going to be rainwater. Yeah. So what they're going to do is collect, you know, the rainwater from somewhere on top of the roof, and then they store it underground in a 15,000 gallon little tank, which for everyone else outside the US, that's about 57,000 liters. And then they're going to use that to resurface and repave the ice continually. So I think it's dope to see some, you know, efforts like that. Like we got to be, you know, making more efforts.
Yeah. Well, Brother B is our resident hippie. So, you know, this is really big for him. But, you know, I remember talking to the Kraken crew about some of the things that they were doing, and that was one of the biggest things for them was that whole green initiative, man. And they are going to set the benchmark not only in that respect, but in their hiring practice. Like, you know, the Kraken, they're coming out hot, man. And listen, if they even get quarter of the success Vegas got in their first year, man, it's going to be lights out for that team and that organization. So, you know, I'm wishing them all the luck.
Yeah. I actually just spoke with our boy, Kyle Boyd.
Yes.
He and his sister, we had them on last season to talk about all the development of the Kraken. And even just last week when we spoke, man, they're all so excited to get rolling this summer. So I'm excited to watch that.
I wonder how close they are to finishing the arena. Like I haven't seen any pictures online.
I don't think about that.
Elijah, you know, you got anything before we jump into this interview that we've been amped up to have for so long?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about both George Floyd and Dante Wright. And, you know, Dante Wright was murdered, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago?
About a week and a half ago, I would say.
And I didn't want to not talk about it on our show. I just I wanted to wait for the George Floyd trial to happen so we can kind of talk about the two together. But, you know, it's crazy how George Floyd was murdered over a year ago, and then a year later we're still in the exact same situation, exact same problem. And I think it was a huge step that Derek Chauvin, I believe that's how you say his name, was charged guilty. Chauvin was guilty on all counts. I think that was a major thing to not give him any leeway. But it's just crazy how over a year later, this is still going on. But, you know, with him being guilty, getting charged guilty, I do think it's a big step.
Yeah. I mean, to look at it and say a year later, this happened again, I think that's like, I wouldn't want to put that message out. I would let people know, like, this has been steady happening. Like, this, it's not like,
yeah,
this
agreed, been, agreed.
There's been,
it's no been happening. It's just not always, reported. It's happening every day.
It's just not a, you know, it's big. Like, you know, since I was growing up, man, I heard crazy stories. And, you know, this is the first time in my lifetime that I ever heard a police officer killing a young Black man, going to trial and being convicted on all charges.
I think it was the first time ever in Minnesota.
You feel me? So
never happened in Minnesota, I believe.
So that's big right there. And yeah. So
That's the main thing. That's the main thing that's happening, you know?
And this should, it will set a precedent. And, you know, it's just, I mean, it's, you know, the last little while there's been, you know, more cases coming out and stuff. And, you know, all I can say to people out there is like, you know, this is our life. And, you know, we have to just, you know, we got to just walk lightly, be smart about what we're doing in this world. And, you know, again, you know, it's just one of those things that from a person of color's perspective, man, you know, this is nothing new. All of us as young men have had that conversation with our parents, regardless of what your generation is. If you're in North America, at some point, your parents had or will have that conversation about when you go out there and you're driving late at night and you get the police stop you, what to do and what not to do. So, you know, to everybody out there, just be safe. And, you know, no one's going to shut up and dribble, man. We're going to keep talking about these issues and we're going to just keep putting them in the forefront, but we're also going to have a great time and talk hockey and have great guests. And speaking of great guests, you know, we've been wanting to have this guy on our show since we started this show. So, young Akil is not here yet. Hopefully he comes in, but let's get this party started. Next up to bat, we got my man, Anthony Duclair. So keep it locked. All right, so let's set it off like this. Our next guest was drafted in the third round, 80th overall in the NHL entry draft to the New York Rangers, born in Laval, Quebec. When this kid wants to get busy, he definitely can get busy. From the Florida Panthers, Soul Brothers, Soul Sisters, welcome to the show, Anthony the Duke Duclair. How's it going, my man?
Good. How are you, man? Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Do they call you the Duke? Who does anybody call you the Duke? What's your nickname?
The Duke, yeah. Duke, the Dukester. I've heard it all, but yeah, the Duke.
No, you can't be letting them call you Dukey, man.
I know.
That doesn't stick around, but the Duke is the most often used.
See, you know what's funny about Dukey in like, you know, for your teammates, for the most, for them, you know, Dukey, hey, Dukey. In our community, we know what Dookie means, you know?
Yeah. I don't hear Dookie too much, though, so that's good.
Oh, man. So, yeah, thank you for joining us. You know, I wanted to set it off like this, man. You've had some great goals in your career, but the one that stands out to all of us, and Brother B, he pointed this out, Anthony Duclair scores insanely skilled goal from his knees against the Flyers. Do you remember that goal?
Yeah, of course. That's my favorite goal for sure.
Talk to us about that goal and how that went down, man.
Well, I mean, I got a pass from Nudivara. I was actually playing with me here in Florida. Pretty funny, but got the pass and it was sort of on a half breakaway, you know, the D cut off to me. And, you know, I kind of lost the puck. And right when I lost the puck, I was like, oh, no, like, I couldn't get a shot on net or anything. So, obviously, didn't want to, you know, let an opportunity go by. So, I just stuck with it. I was on my knees and was able to, you know, corral the puck back to myself and end up, you know, toe-dragging the one defender. And then all I could think of is just get a shot on net, you know, and you know, from my knees, I kind of whiffed on it. It was kind of a lucky goal, but you know, if you look at it, you know, all in one motion, it was pretty cool. It's pretty sweet. And, just seeing that puck go in after that, you know, from my knees was a pretty cool moment for sure. And a goal I'll never forget.
Bro, there's no luck. All right. We never say a goal like that is luck. That was just straight money. That's what we call straight butter. You know, how you been feeling? You're coming off IR. How's the body? Are you ready to get back into it?
Yeah. Body's feeling great right now. We got a unreal medical staff here in Florida. They've been taking care of me. You know, missed a few games this year due to injuries, but, you know, feeling good right now, feeling rested. You know, only I think 9 games left in the season. Boys are starting to, you know, get that playoff mentality here. We know that we're still battling for our first spot in our division, first spot in the league. So I think these next few games here are going to be so crucial, you know, head into the playoffs just to keep that momentum going.
Dig it. You know, one of the last times I seen you was at All-Star Weekend in St. Louis. Your first experience as an NHL All-Star, which was well-deserved because you had a hell of a year in Ottawa. What was that experience like for you, and how did you take in that whole weekend?
Yeah, that was unbelievable. You know, as a kid, you watch that All-Star Weekend, you know, every year. You don't miss anything. The skills competition, the All-Star game. Obviously, the format has changed over the years, but, you know, as a kid, you just dream of being a part of that. And to be honest with you, I never really thought I'd get that far. I never really expected it, but, you know, for the year I had in Ottawa, the opportunity, you know, coach gave me, you know, just helped me thrive as a player on and off the ice. And I think I grew so much last year. And, you know, every year I'm just learning more and more. But you know, that experience was unbelievable. I had the chance to share with my mom who took time off work and had come down. And, yeah, that was really fun. I knew a lot of guys just playing on previous teams or playing against them in the past growing up and stuff like that. But, yeah, just seeing the best players in the world, you know, compete against each other for a full weekend, just being around, you know, making new friends is something I'll never forget for sure.
Like both you and Kwame just said, you had a career year in Ottawa, and, you know, it was really surprising when they didn't tender your qualifying offer. And after, you never really see a player leave a team after a career year. But then you decided to go sign with Florida and only for 1 year. Why was that the decision you ended up making?
Well, yeah, I was shocked as you, to be honest with you. You know, after the year I had in Ottawa, I just thought that was a great fit, and thought I'd, you know, go to Ottawa for a couple more years. But, you know, things happen. You know, hockey's a business. And, you know, for myself, when I was an unrestricted free agent, you know, definitely took the time to, you know, study all the teams, study all their rosters and players. And I just thought that Florida was the right fit for me. And, you know, I had many conversations with Bill Zito. It's probably the most conversations I had with any GM. You know, not just talking about my contract, just talk about, you know, where I am as a player and, you know, my strength, my weaknesses, stuff like that. You know, just stuff that, you know, you only get the chance to talk about when, you know, you have an agent, you know, speaking for you and stuff like that. But, you know, to be honest with you, I don't regret my decision. I'm having a pretty good year so far, and finally get the opportunity to play in the playoffs this year, first time in my 6th season. So that just goes to show you how hard it is to make the playoffs. But like I said, you know, Florida has been such a great fit for me. I'm really happy to be here, and hopefully I can be here for years to come.
So the 1 year deal, was that just kind of a bank on yourself situation?
Yeah, exactly. Just like I did the year before. You know, after I got traded from Columbus, I decided to sign that 1 year deal to like prove myself again once more. And you know, this contract is no different. And you know, I'm trying to do that every day, and I'm proving myself out there, you know, each and every night.
is it tough to do those 1 year deals not knowing what you're going to do the year after? Because you know, you end up being like a journeyman and going from team to team, or does that mm-hmm. not even fade you?
To be honest with you, I'm always going to bet on myself. You know, I know what I'm capable of. I know the amount of, you know, hours I put in the gym. I know the amount of hours I put in, you know, the rink. You know, I know what my potential is, and you know, it's what my fourth, you know, 1 year deal that I've been signing now, and so I'm kind of used to it now. And you know, but for myself, you know, after this contract, for sure, I'll definitely be looking for a little more security. But you know, that'll take care of itself. You know, for myself, I'm just gonna worry what I can do to help my team win each and every night. And I think, you know, the more I work, the more I prove myself out there, I think all that stuff will take care of itself after.
I love that sense of that attitude. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't fade you, and you just keep doing, you do you. And the idea of letting it work out for itself is something that I think a lot of young kids got to understand, that sometimes in life, there's certain things you can't control. And what you can control is your work ethic. And, you know, there's no denying that the Duke is a hard worker, and he brings it each and every game. You're one of the founding members of the HDA. How are you planning to use your voice in particular, your name, to help grow the game?
Well, I mean, for myself, first and foremost, it's an honor to be part of the HDA. You know, never in the history of hockey have you seen, you know, guys of, you know, current players, past players, you know, all come together, black players all come together, and, you know, for an alliance, you know, to help spread the word about growing the game of hockey. And, you know, myself and the founding members, and along with the help of so many people, have done a tremendous job in just, you know, putting the word out there. We've reached out to, you know, so many kids so far. I know guys are doing some unbelievable initiatives in their respective cities where they play in. Quick example, Matt Dumba, who held a little hockey camp in Minnesota because of COVID. He went around and did an outdoor hockey rink just to help, you know, young little black girls, young little black guys, you know, just get the chance to strap on pads and try to play the game of hockey. We know how sometimes it can be expensive and unreachable for a lot of us minorities. So so for myself, you know, being in that position not too long ago, you know, I definitely feel the pain of some minorities that, you know, that go into this sport and, you know, get made fun of because of the color of their skin or not accepted or not treated equally. So for myself, just having this platform, me now being a professional hockey player, having the opportunity to, you know, reach these different platforms, to reach these different, you know, kids around the world, to just let them know that, you know, hockey is for everyone, and, you know, whatever you put your mindset to, you can achieve. And, you know, don't worry about the outside noise, and just keep doing you, like you just said. Keep working hard and just love the game. Have fun with the game. Sometimes it is hard, but, you know, we're definitely seeing a change. We're definitely seeing more and more minorities play the game than we ever have before. So we are taking steps in the right direction. There's obviously a lot of more work to be done, but I am proud of from when I was a kid till now. I do see a huge difference. And even me going back home during the summertime, back home in Montreal, I just see more and more black kids out there on the ice. So compared to when I was a kid. So, you know, it's awesome to see, and hopefully we can keep moving in the right direction here.
I saw that the HDA just recently partnered with Scotiabank. Do you guys have anything in the works or anything with any other companies coming up?
Yeah. Yeah, we're working on a future commercial, future initiatives that we can grow, you know, because of COVID right now, it's a little tough to, you know, do some more face-to-face. It's all more virtual right now. But as soon as, I know, especially in Canada, it's all locked up. So, but as soon as, you know, restrictions kind of ease up a little bit, we're definitely looking forward to help some camps or, and stuff like that, and just reach out to the minority, you know, family, you know, across North America, to raise awareness and raise some money to get some equipment for minorities to play hockey.
Big shout out to Chris George over at Scotiabank, holding it down. That's a great brother, doing some great work, and his heart's definitely in the right direction. You know, he really
was definitely to, yeah.
He's a good. So the pandemic has obviously put a wrench in how much we can do and what can be done, and you know, thinking towards the future, especially in a place like Florida. Florida is like a perfect place where getting into the community can be really, really effective. I know Peter Worrell and the Panther staff, they're very passionate about community relations. As a pro athlete, how important is it for you to have young kids be able to not only see you on the ice, but see you in their community?
Yeah, it's huge. Like I said, because of COVID this year, especially this year, we're on lockdown, so I don't really have the chance to meet any fans or stuff like that. It's more going to be have to be more virtual. But for myself, coming to Florida, I can definitely, you know, reach out to a whole new demographic here, and you know, maybe even entice some young kids, minority kids, to play hockey, where it's a sport where here in Florida it's not, you know, the biggest attraction. But you know, I think because the team is doing so well, I think we're starting to get more and more fans, you know, a bigger outlook in Florida. So you know, I think here this organization, along with our general manager here, Bill Zito, our owner here, Vinny Viola, are huge in what I believe in. That's some of the conversations I've had, you know, over the summer while talking contract stuff. So also one of the big reasons why I decided to come here, just because they are aware of, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement. They are aware of the HDA. I made some skates this year that, you know, was very important to me, and they were all for it. I remember, you know, Bill Zito asked me, I think it was a couple of days before Martin Luther King Day, you know, what I wanted to do. That was the first time, you know, any GM has ever reached out to me asking what I wanted to do on Martin Luther King Day. It kind of caught me off guard, to be honest. I was like, I didn't know what to say. But to be honest with you, it's been such a great fit here. I'm looking forward to, for sure, whenever we can, getting out there in the communities and, you know, help, you know, young minorities, maybe, you know, get into hockey someday.
Yeah, because, you know, a guy like you, good looking, young, got some flavor, you know, like you, they'll relate to you, you know? And I think that's always been the biggest issue when it came to growing the game in minority communities. It's like, you know, you got to have somebody to come in there with some flavor. You can't just be okie dokie coming in to say, hey, you want to play some hockey? They're going to be like, man, I ain't playing no hockey. Dookie come in there looking for you know what I mean?
Oh, you got to see Dookie now. You got to see the Duke.
When the Duke comes in there, then they're going to be like, oh, you know what? He listens to the music I listen to. He dresses the way I like to dress. And he plays this. I'm going to test this out. So, you know, the first time I took notice of you, and was excited to see, you know, like, you know, what you were going to be bringing to the game in the future is the World Junior Team when you played for Canada in 2015. I thought you and Domi, you two were lights out, great fit on the ice. How special was that bunch of guys you played with and what besides winning the gold stood out to you the most?
That was an unbelievable team that we assembled that year. Probably one of the most skilled team I've ever played on, you know, in the short amount of time. I just go down the lineup. I think everybody on that team is an NHL game in some sort, except for our goalie. But, yeah, that was an unbelievable experience. Kind of perfect timing, to be honest. At 19 years old, my last year eligibility to have the tournament in my hometown, Montreal, for the round robin, and then, you know, finish off the medal rounds in Toronto. The both rinks were absolutely electric every single game. You know, sort of like the All-Star game as a kid, you watch the World Juniors, you know, around Christmas time, you watch it with your whole family. That was sort of a big tradition, you know, a classic, you know, Canadian family tradition. You know, every Christmas, just watch the World Juniors, and just to be part of that was unbelievable. You know, the chemistry I had on my line with Domi and Reinhardt was pretty special. You know, the camaraderie amongst the guys were second to none, and I think that's why we had so much success in our tournament, and you know, didn't lose a game. I think. Even, you know, I think it was the game against the U.S., the last game, round robin against the U.S. was probably a toughest matchup, you know, the game you're always waiting for. We came out on top, but just the way that the guys prepared for that game, just the way the guys, you know, had each other's backs was really nice to see. And, just to win gold on home soil in Toronto was awesome. And the goal I scored in the finals was probably one of the biggest goals of my career, and you know, something I'll never forget for sure.
Yeah, man, congratulations. That team was lights out. Can you remember the first time you realized hockey was your thing? This is the thing that I want to do for the rest of my life?
It was really young, to be honest. You know, growing up in Montreal, obviously a big Habs fan. I think maybe I would say the first time I went to a Montreal Canadiens game, just going out there. And I don't know if you've been to the Bell Centre, but there's something about that rink, man. When you get in there, you know, as a spectator, and you know, you see the whole stadium, and you see the guys on the ice, and just watching your first NHL game, you know, in person was, for me as a kid, so eye popping, and I knew right then and there that was something I wanted to do. You know, I kind of knew when I was playing, you know, novice, Adam Peewee and stuff like that, but when you see pros for the first time, you know, guys that you idolize watching on TV. You know, that's there's nothing else on your mind. I knew that there was nothing that's going to stand in my way to reach that dream. And, you know, obviously with the help of so many people, you know, first and foremost, my family is the reason why I'm here today.
Speaking of your family, you guys you're Haitian. Are you first, second generation? What are you?
I'm a second generation. Both my parents were born in Haiti, so and then they moved to Montreal at a very young age.
Okay. So, you know, from all I know about Haitians is y'all is tough as nails, man. Y'all, I don't play with, you know, there's a certain group of people I don't play with. It's Jamaicans and Haitians. I don't play with them.
Very smart. You know what I mean?
So talk to me about your parents. You know, you said that they're very supportive. Have they always been supportive of your hockey dreams when you were coming up?
Oh, yeah, for sure. They're number one fans, still are today. They watch every single game back home. They text me, call me after every single game. You know, I hear it all. But, yeah, obviously very supportive of me and my little brother. They're the ones who've drove me to the rinks, you know, every day, every morning, a couple times a day sometimes. you know, for training, stuff like that. We've moved around for hockey, house to house, apartment to apartment, you know, you name it. So, you know, anything that would help me and my little brother, you know, thrive in the sport, they did. And obviously, they risked a lot of things, sacrificed a lot for me. So they're the number one reason why I'm here in the NHL today. And, you know, they've always supported me and what I wanted to do, and always pushed me to the best of my abilities.
You know, George Larocque, also another tough Haitian that played in the NHL when he was growing up, he said his parents actually wanted him to quit hockey because of the verbal abuse that was going on in the ring. How, or did your parents ever talk to you about what may happen, or were there ever any conversations about situations that might have come up when you were little in arenas?
I'm sort of the, you know, first in my family to jump in the hockey world. Is I'm coming from a family or from a football family.
Okay.
My uncle actually played in the CFL, played for Calgary, and my dad he played for Concordia and then had to stop. But yeah, I'm the first one to, you know, take a leap in the other direction. And you know, when I was a kid and faced any kind of, you know, racism or bullying on the ice, to be honest, at the time I just kept to myself. I didn't tell my parents or anyone. I just sort of internalized it, and you know, just thought that you know, if I was good enough one day, that I'd be accepted, and that was sort of my mindset, you know, back then. That's why I just worked so hard and just wanted to make the NHL so bad that you know, one day I can finally be accepted for who I am. And you know, obviously, you know, you grow older, you mature, and you understand things more. And you know, it's some that probably I'd take another route if I had to do it all over again. I'd obviously you know, reach out to my parents and spread the word a little bit more. But yeah, at the time I had just internalized it and just put my head down and kept working. It happened. There was a couple instances, but there was one time it happened, and then the kid's father actually went up to my father while during a game, and he apologized to my father.
Oh.
And my father had no idea what he was talking about, but yeah, he had told him, and the father actually punished his own kid and made sure that he apologized to me, he apologized to my father, and he actually did a couple stuff, you know, to learn about Black history. So
wow.
It was actually, you know, pretty nice to see, you know, back then, see, you know, a family actually be aware of the situation and doing something about it, you know, compared to other instances where, you know, they just kind of brush it off and, you know, just think that it's okay. But yeah, in that one instance, it was pretty nice to see for sure.
That's so interesting, because it's tough. And I think that's very interesting that you said you internalized it, because that's one of the things when talking to some of these young kids nowadays is we want them to avoid doing that, because some of those type of things can just weigh on a person's shoulder. And, you know, thank God you were strong enough to persevere through all that adversity. But, you know, for all the young kids out there listening to the show, just like Anthony said, if he had a chance to do it a different way, he would reach out and speak to someone. And I think we have to be in a position where we can do that, be it if it's mental health, it's bullying, it's bigotry, whatever it is. We need to be able to have some sort of outlet to talk to somebody about what you're going through. And I think you would agree with me on that one, Ant.
Yeah, exactly what I'm saying. And yeah, I mean, everybody reacts different to different situations. And, you know, I've heard stories where, you know, kids would go through that and, you know, they would just straight up give up hockey and just because, you know, mentally they're not as fully as fully invested in the sport as I am, or just come from an area where hockey is already tough enough, you know, to get to, or you know, already too expensive and stuff like that, or even like you said, George LaRocque's parents, you know, have parents that, you know, want them to quit hockey. You know, different situations for different people, but for myself, like I said, if I had to do it all over again, for sure, I would, you know, reach out to first and foremost my parents, and I'd try to spread the word out there that you know, this is obviously not acceptable.
So a few years back, there was a tournament in Toronto, and there was a Team Jamaica in the tournament, and I couldn't play in the tournament at the time because I was in the OHL, and there wasn't any OHL players allowed, but I was around the bench. I was on the bench, and I was around the team a lot. And I remember your brother came from Quebec to play, and he was at least 1 year younger, maybe 2 years younger than everyone. But, like, man, your brother could play, and he could skate for real. I think he was, like, close to the top of the team in points and everything. We gave him the nickname Shooter, so next time we'll call him Shooter. But what's he up to now? Like, how's he doing? How's his hockey going? I was always interested because when I saw him, I knew he had some talent.
Yeah, he's actually here with me for the week right now. I remember that tournament I was following closely. I remember you guys were giving him the nickname Shooter. I was telling him, what's that all about, man? Like, why do you call you Shooter? He's like, man, I'm a shooter, man. I'm sniping. But yeah, he's doing very well. He started the year in Ontario, junior A, and then unfortunately, you know, they didn't play a single game. They were just playing exhibition games. So he came back from for Christmas break, and I think their season got shut down. So. He just signed actually in the NAHL in Texas, so that's where he'll be. He practiced with the team towards the end of the year, and he's just coming down here to visit me for a little bit, and then I think he's gonna go back there this off season to train, and then he's gonna start up back with them next season. So yeah, he's doing well. He's definitely working very hard, and you know, hopefully I can see him down the road in this league for sure.
I just want everybody to know that it was a Team Jamaican squad, and they brought in some ringers from Haiti to play in the team. But to be honest, for the West Indians, man, Haitians, Jamaicans, y'all are like the same, man. Y'all. Hey, you know, we like, again, just a little bit with, you know, not necessarily an HDA thing, but this is more for you personally. As we see that the league is trying to become more diverse, trying to reach out more, trying to go a different path to open its fandom, you personally, what would be your advice to the hockey industry? Not necessarily just the NHL, but hockey in general. What would be your advice to this industry to say, you know, this is how you are going to bring in more kids of color, especially from my community?
I think just being more open to, you know, listening to, you know, what, you know, Black players have to say. Obviously, we're the ones who've, you know, experienced, you know, racism. We're the ones who've experienced maybe us not being treated equally. Maybe, you know, just empathizing with, you know, all the Black players in the league, you know, current, past, you know, even junior players who, and I'm sure all minority players have some sort of story about, you know, their past experiences growing up. So, you know, we're seeing more and more diversity inclusion initiatives from the NHL. More than we've ever seen before. You know, even 5 years ago, since I entered the league, I've never seen, you know, stuff like that. So it's crazy how things can really change pretty quickly. But I think for me, to answer your question, it's just maybe just empathizing more and listening more to what the players have to say, because I think if we're going to grow the game, I think the players are the main focus here. I think just even exposing them even to a larger degree, larger scale, just to reach those, those communities where hockey isn't the main focus. I think if we get more minorities, more minority fan base, the sport's just only going to continue to grow. You look at the other leagues like NFL, NBA, you see like what they're doing. There's no surprise why, these leagues are bringing billions of dollars. At the end of the day, it's only going to help everybody involved. So, like I said, like it's nice to see the change from a couple years ago, and year after year, we're seeing some change. But there's obviously still more work to do.
Dig it.
I went on NHL.com and I looked at some of the reporters' preseason predictions for standings, awards, all that, and there was 15 different reporters, and only two of them had you guys making the playoffs this year. And you look at where you guys are now, you're in second place. There's times this year where you're in first place in the entire league, and which I think is the toughest or second toughest division. How are you feeling about your team? Do you guys think you have a real shot this year?
100%. I mean, I've had a lot of confidence in this team before I signed here, to be honest. And this is one big reasons I signed here is to make the playoffs and get an opportunity to play. So, we actually talked about that before the season even started. Coach Q said, not a lot of people have us, in the playoffs, but, we're not going to care what people think. We're just going to go out there and play. I think if you look at our lineup, we got a lot of depth in our forward group. We have had a couple injuries this year where guys have gone down, and guys from our taxi squad and guys from, bottom six have come up to the top six and have done an unbelievable job, covering for guys that are hurt. And our goaltending's been solid all year. Bob and Driggs have been really good. We're confident in each of them, night in, night out. We saw a couple nights ago, Spencer Knight, 20-year-old kid coming in the pipes and just being calm out there, getting his first NHL win. Our D-core has been really solid. So I think we have all the pieces, all the right tools to have a long run. Like you said, I think too, our division's been really tough. I really believe in this team, and it doesn't matter who we play in the first round. I think we're gonna have a really legitimate shot at getting a good run going.
Yeah, somebody from the Central, I feel, is for sure going to make it to the finals. So good luck in that. And if you played Toronto, man, I can't vote for you. I just gotta say that.
They're looking pretty good right now.
I don't know, man. These guys, Toronto's that team, man. It's just so hard to love them because like they're on fire and then they're not. And it's just like, I don't know. Let's not even go there. we had Dumba on the show over the summer when you guys were training in Arizona, man, and he had nothing but flowers to give to you, man. He really checks for you, and he's a big fan of yours, if you didn't know already. And he said that you were really working hard out there this past summer. Did you have some of that extra fire because of how it went down in Ottawa?
I always do, no matter what. Coming off a good year, bad year, okay year, it doesn't really matter. That's for myself, I take every off season, I take that time to really reflect on the year before, but not too much. You want to put that behind you, and when you start training, man, you always want to come to camp the next year, in better shape than you ever were. It's kind of a cliche where you're coming in and you say, "Oh, I'm the best shape of my life," but it's actually the truth. You want to come in ready because you just never know. You just never know, how long you're going to be in this league. You never know how long you're going to be playing, especially these young kids coming up. I say young kids, I'm only 25, but these kids are 18, 19, and, they're NHL ready, and they're coming in, and they're taking, the guy's spots. So for myself, I want to stay ready. I want to improve my game. I want to mature my game every year, and, it was a pretty cool, obviously the extended off season last year. Got to spend some time in Arizona with my boy Matt, and we're kind of on the same page when it comes to training, and we've obviously pushed each other a lot. We're two competitive guys. When we're in the gym, we're barking at each other. We're doing everything possible to get at each other, and we don't take any shortcuts. So it's nice to be training with a guy that's kind of got the same mindset as you, and then just skating with guys like McDavid, Matthews. I think Dave's out there too. A couple other guys that are in the league right now, and just to be around that environment definitely pushes you way more, than when you're just at home, comfortable, training with a couple guys, that you grew up with. So, for myself, I'm always looking for that little competitive edge, and I definitely had it last year in AZ with those guys.
Tell Dumba next time he's doing commercials for a Sportsnet, tell him to calm down. You know what I mean? Like, he don't got to be so.
I don't think he can. That's just him, man.
just in the camera. I'm sure they had to turn the mic down a little bit. All right, man,
he need to calm down a little bit. But probably had a couple Red Bulls before, for sure.
Yo, Duke, man, we really appreciate you rocking with us, man. We are all big fans. It's too bad young Akil couldn't come on here because when we used to talk about having you on there, he'd be like, "Yo, I dummy him and all this stuff." He'd talk mad trash.
He was like, "Oh, you're lucky there's division split this year, so Florida don't play LA and
all that, man." So I really wanted him to face this music. So just keep that in the back of your mind if you ever get to play against him. And like, you know what I mean? Like, he's in the corner. Just please, just say, "Youngin, okay, I'm Haitian.
I'll take him and Boko on."
Yeah. I love that.
That's my guy, Boko, too. So.
Oh, for real? Yes.
It looks like they're having fun out there in LA, man. That was good to see there a couple weeks ago, seeing that black line there with Devo, Akil, and Quinton. I don't know those guys personally. I don't know Q and Akil personally, but Boko has told me just good things about those guys, and I know Devo. I know Devo pretty well, just from playing against him and, just being around him in the offseason sometimes. But, it's nice to see, so many black guys on one team. And hopefully they can all be on the Kings roster very soon. That'd be nice to see.
I don't know if you're a gamer. You play any NHL, online? Do you play?
No, I used to, but not anymore.
I did a season, and they traded for you, and you were on my squad. It was, and I had you. Is you my character on the Kings?
On the Kings, okay.
Yeah, so it was you, myself, and I think it was Kopitar or whatever. Our line was sick, brother. Our line was sick.
You got some speed or what?
Oh man, brother, I was like, I'm on it. I'm that guy with the, you know what I mean? Put me on the ice is a whole different story, but you know what I mean? Put me on the sticks. playing with the guys, I'm good to go. But listen, man, before we let you go, I know you got that flavor. I've always said that if there's anybody in the NHL who's got flavor, it's Anthony Duclair. We do this thing where we ask you for your top five songs. Five songs that you listen to either work out, five songs you listen to either to get to the rink, whatever gets you hyped up, man. We want to hear what you're listening right now.
And hold up, before you go, when your brother was with Team Jamaica, he was banging tracks. So there's high expectations, you know.
He does got good taste, but he gets it from me, though.
Dig it.
Addy told me that you guys were going to ask that, so I made a quick list.
Okay.
My notes here. I just went through my playlist just real quick, and here we go. I got That Go from Young Thug and Meek Mill. Don't Need Friends from Nav. Real As It Gets, Lil Baby. What's Next from Drake. And On Me from Lil Baby. So kind of tells you what I like. You know, I obviously, before games, it's all hip-hop, rap, and just love rocking with that. And, you know, I got a couple favorite artists for sure.
Have you ever had a chance to meet any hip-hop artists in your travels?
Yeah, I got to meet Drake a couple of years ago with Max, with Domi. He set it up. It was right when he got traded to Montreal. It was right before camp, before I left for Columbus. And we went to a show at the Bell Center and, you know, got to meet him after. And that was, you know, one of those moments, one of those wow moments, you know. Some, you know, kind of starstruck, you know, kind of a, obviously a Canadian icon. You know, him doing this thing, obviously I bumped his tracks, you know, any new tracks he puts out there. So, he was definitely, that was a pretty cool moment for sure.
I hope one day mans like Drake, like call guys like you and just be like, yo, come in my music video. Cause I don't, you know, you know, back in the days, you know, Nelly and the Saint Lunatics, they had some stuff going on and they had a video and, Freddie Brathwaite was in their video.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. He showed me. That was unreal.
Did he show up to you?
Yeah, he showed me. That was unbelievable.
That's Freddie's claim to fame. I guarantee you, Freddie goes to clubs and be like, listen, girl, look.
Oh, yeah. He's got that thing saved. He's like this.
Yo, Duclair, thank you so much for joining us, man. We really appreciate your time. All the best going forward. Elijah, I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that might have been my favorite top five. So, delivered to expectations. But, you know, it's just kind of cool to see your whole journey and how you've been continually banking on yourself to just get better every year. And, you know, it's something we've seen. Your contracts have gone up. Your numbers have gone up. You look better every year. So, you know, there's obviously big things coming. And, you know, I'm rooting for you guys in the playoffs. I like the underdog going in and getting the win. So best of luck. You know, I hope we have you back on the show soon. And, yeah, good luck.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me. Quinn and Elijah, appreciate it. Obviously, a big honor for me to have be on the show. So thank you. I'll tell my little brother. He says,
where's Shooter? Shooter there? Is he there?
Shooter.
Is he over there right now? Shooter, come and say what's up, man. Let me see this, another Haitian sensation.
There he is. The one and only.
How you doing?
Hey, yeah. Whoa, this guy's grown now, eh?
What's up?
This guy grew up, holy.
No, I don't actually.
How old are you now, man?
Oh, Jamaica, yeah. What's that?
How old are you now?
I'm 18.
He looked like a little rapper. He looked like one of these, you know what I mean? Like these little guys rapping right now. You rapping? You
look unfortunately, no.
You look like a little rapper, man.
How's the game going, man? You still having fun playing?
Yeah, having a lot of fun. Learning from him, so yeah.
Keep grinding it out, man. You know, your brother could do it. You could do it. It would be great to see you in the league, man, and get you on the podcast. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, man. Thank you guys for your time. We really appreciate you. This has been great, man.
Thank you.
That was Anthony, the Duke, Duclair, right here on the podcast. Too bad for Akil, man. I really wanted
Akil. I'm gonna bug Akil about this one. You know,
yeah.
We get a guy like Duclair, and you know, Akil's a little scared.
He's scared.
He knows that Duclair's Canada team was better.
Mm.
You know, you don't want to go in the corners with Duclair.
Mm.
He was talking all that ish before, and
yep. You know,
so
he just
all right. We're gonna get him back.
We'll get him back on the show, and we'll let him deal with the case. But you know, I think you just hearing you talking to Duclair, you sound like you have always been a fan of his, and you admire his hard work.
Yeah, I mean, like what you said from World Juniors, just kind of seeing him. I didn't know who he was before World Juniors, but then I kind of followed his journey and always thought he was a pretty good player. And I was kind of waiting for that moment where he just kind of solidified himself. You know, he's switching from team to team and seeing his breakout year in Ottawa and then him playing such a big part in Florida doing so well this year. It's just really great to see. And I wouldn't be surprised if he signs a big long-term contract. And
I hope he does.
And not only that, but his numbers to continue to just go up throughout the year and that he sticks around for a long time.
Because I think, it's just been one of those roads for him and he just never got to settle in. And I'm hoping that, you know, he finds his fit with Florida. Florida's a great organization. They've got a great team. And I think he can really do some damage over there. But, yeah, young Akil ducking. He ducked him. That's just a fact. Elijah, thank you for your time. Killed it once again. And thank you all for joining and listening to us. We always appreciate your time. I think it's time well spent. We have some great interviews. And next week, we're going to come back with another banger for you. And just remember to hit us up on all your social media platforms. Also, please subscribe, rate, and review. We're trying to make this thing grow, man. I think we're worthy of your individual bumps and your individual, share to your friends and your family, because I think this is a really, really cool thing that we're doing here, and I really hope that you guys are enjoying it. For Elijah Roberts, my name is Kwame. We are Audi 5000. Bong, bong.
And when we make it, we gonna put our soul on ice. Because when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the proof is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice. You goddamn right, I'm screaming on that beat. I got a match screaming on the streets. We in the club, stadium, and the arena, cousin. Put me on ice and I'm hitting that top. G's a dustin', fussin', fighting with myself is enticing. My enemies in the mirror, and he's always reciting the poetry of my power. Statistic of my weakness, shadow boxing with Tyson. I'm trying to show y'all I'm beating them to the punch. Competition on the table, it's time for lunch. Though my mission is unstable, I'm scoring once, twice, three times, and I'm taking hats. Men lie, women lie, progress is based upon the facts. So let that baby shine. They sold the show and know the, they live within the grind. Now take them out that stroller, cause coming up is a champ. Prediction of Ali, he changed his name to Muhammad. We change him free to a fee. It's up to me. And when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the poop is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice. Let's dedicate this one to Jade and Linda. Let's escalate to Caddy, crush the Pinta. Or maybe you prefer that Benz, why? That big truck, I don't give a f***. Only really want a house for the get by. Let's take it far down on the competition. Competition is nonsense, it's me and my soul's decision. Yeah, only
only work against myself. I play against you to bench you. I'm throwing all shots to the shelf. Yeah, the top is the topic. You checking your armor. My wheel telescopic, so I'm steering my karma. The future is mine, like receiving the pass from Jesus or Jordan or Crosby, Stills and Nash. Young, and when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the proof is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. When our numbers come through the TV, soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice.